In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday I spoke about Father Scanlon's prophecy in Rome, and today I'm going to read parts of it. And also I'm going to read Father Scanlon's prophecy to a service committee in 1980. And this is what Sister Ann Shields says. This prophecy was given in 1975 in Rome, the first International Catholic Charismatic Conference. There were 10,000 pilgrims. Paul VI gave his blessing. And she says, "I was on my knees, and it was very hard to get on my knees when you're squashed together like that. At the same time, after communion, there was a new gift being used in St. Peter's Basilica, at least new in form, and that was a prophetic gift. There were four or five prophecies, one right after the other. After communion, these prophecies were given from the high altar at St. Peter's. All these prophecies dealt with the time of darkness coming, a time when supports that you depend on would no longer be there. Things you've depended on, resources, buildings, people, finances, and all the kinds of things would be taken away from you. And then there would be a time of great evangelism that will follow as the world has never seen." That was the heart of the prophecies. A very interesting to talk about, because giving us signs of collapse of things we've depended upon, social structures, family, these are the things that have been happening. Not only social structures, but banks and churches closing and all these things that have been happening. Father Scanlon continues in 1980 to say why they are happening. You know, this kind of enfleshes it. He says, "The Lord God says, hear my word. The time has been marked, this time has been marked for a time of blessings," 1980, 5 years later, "a time of gifts. It's now being replaced by a time of judgment and a time of purification. What I have not accomplished through my gifts and blessings, I will accomplish through my judgment and purification. My people, my church, is desperately in need of this judgment. They have continued in an adulterous relationship with the spirit of the world. They are not only infected with sin, my church, but they teach sin, pamper sin, embrace sin, dismiss sin. Leadership is unable to handle it. Fragmentation, confusion throughout the ranks. Satan goes where he will. Satan infects who he will. He has free access throughout my people, and I will not stand for this." Well, I'm going to enflesh this now, okay? I want to enflesh this. Okay, we have just heard on the news that there is another priest that has been indicted, has been put on leave, and that priest needs to be prayed for. Because I always thought you were always innocent until proven guilty. So we need to pray for that priest. I have been. But in a minute, when they get this information and they think it's real, they will pull the priest out. They will pull the priest out. Okay, that's all right. But then you have priests that are preaching heresy, preaching that the cross is not necessary, preaching that you do not need to go to confession, preaching that we're all going to heaven, preaching that confession is outdated, preaching that the Eucharist is not the real presence of Jesus, and these priests will be kept. So physical rape is much more important than spiritual rape, because lawyers can't get at you with spiritual rape. Okay? That's what we're saying. Which means we're saying to God, "You know, God, we don't even believe you. We don't even believe what people would have been put to the stake and burnt years ago, being propagated in places throughout the world, in Boston itself. Yeah, people tell people, and I have heard this, I get letters, I am on all over the country, I get letters that say, our priests don't believe that God speaks to us. Our priests don't believe that God speaks. Now, I'm not saying every priest, but you know, if you've got one priest like this, God does speak. His name is the Word, Jesus. Also, our priests don't believe in miracles. It has nothing to do with miracles. Jesus wasn't a miracle worker. These are just stories. That's right, stories. But you see, nothing will happen to these priests because lawyers are not involved. You understand what I'm saying? You can desecrate faith, you can break down faith, but if you have a claim that someone has hurt somebody sexually, immediately, you know, they'll look into it and throw the priest out. What about the spiritual aspect? Because we're talking about heaven and hell. We're not talking about lawyers. We're talking about heaven and hell. And I just want to tell you, it's very sad. It's very, very sad. I can only tell you about what I was taught in the seminary, St. John Seminary. Well, I did not dislike the seminary. I was there from 1974 to 1979. I took almost every scripture class that I could take because I knew that I would be a preacher, because I was a preacher. These are the things that I was taught. I was taught in the seminary, St. John Seminary, that the Eucharist was not given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church gave us the Eucharist. It was a later redaction, which is a lie. I was taught that Jesus did not do miracles. All right. I was taught that they multiplied food by sharing their food. That's what I was taught. I was taught that Jesus did not raise Lazarus from the dead. That's what I was taught. I was taught that that's what the church said. I was taught that there really was not a Pentecost that happened in Acts 2 or in Acts 10 with Cornelius. I was taught that, yeah. I was taught garbage, really. But I knew it was lies. You know why I knew it was lies? And I used to fight with the priests. You know why? Because I knew differently. Not because I was arrogant, because I had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I used to fight with the priest and say, you know, you don't believe in miracles. We have them happening all the time. And if God can do miracles through dopes like us, I think his holy, awesome son, Jesus Christ, could do far better than us, because they're all done in the name of Jesus anyway. See, this is what we were taught. Now, if you have a line of priests that have been taught this garbage, what are they going to give the people? Not much. But you see, nothing is said about this. Nothing is said about this. So now we see that a time of purification and judgment is coming upon the church. My church is desperately in need of this judgment. And we've seen this. The Lord has closed church after church after church. Our monies have run out. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good thing. They have continued in an adulterous relationship with the spirit of the world. They are not only infected with sin, but they teach sin, pamper sin, embrace sin, dismiss sin. Leadership is unable to handle it. Fragmentation, confusion throughout the ranks. Satan goes where he will and infects who he will. He has free access throughout my people, and I will not stand for this. Well, we have the Kennedys. The Kennedys who have supported the partial abortion bill, birth abortion bill, who goes to Holy Communion every single day, nothing is said, that they could kill a child to the last moment, even to 9 months. And it was his bill, but nothing is said. Well, you can say things, but you know what? Something should just, this is a public sin, and a public sin demands a public slap in the face, or a public slap on the hands. You know, this is public sin. This is public sin. You're talking public sin. So if it's public sin, it should be a public crime. But he goes to communion every day. Every day. You know, I hope he repents before he dies. This is just the way it is. I hope he repents before he dies. Then we have Travellini, who made all this money. Now he's got this big, big house on the ocean. God bless him. You know, when we demonstrated in front of his house, I said it was all about money. Yeah. So he left the Senate. And you want to know what? Now he's got this big job, gets thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for using embryonic stem cells. Isn't that something? It was his bill, you know. And he still goes to Holy Communion. That's wonderful. And no one says anything. As they exploit little individuals. You see? Talk about sucking up to the world. Talk about becoming the world. Now we see why the judgment is coming upon us. Most people do not even know that our Lord Jesus Christ is present as Blessed Sacrament. They don't even know that. They don't even know that. They don't even know that. That Jesus is truly present as Eucharist. They don't even know that. This is real. This is real. This is real. Our people are more like the world than the church. Our priests are more like the world than the church. You see, when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit doesn't take precedence in your life, I'm going to tell you, you need to put something in its place. And you put the world. You put the world. My people, especially blessed in the renewal of the baptism of the Spirit, are more under the spirit of the world than they are under the spirit of my baptism. That's real. How many people that have been servants in the past have become leaders now, and they're like tin soldiers, and they've become what they hated. They've become their own hierarchy. Oh yeah, we don't put up chairs because we are the pastoral team. Oh, yeah, we are an elite group. Yeah, you're elite, all right. Give me a break. They are more determined by fear of what others think of them than they are determined by fear of me and fear of infidelity to my word. Oh, yeah, take the church. We are selling our property at the seminary to our friends at Boston College. Well, our friends at Boston College teach heresy in the theology department. Many of them do not even believe that Jesus Christ is God. They are not my friends. They are my enemies. They need to be converted. I would rather have sold the seminary to Raytheon than sell it to Boston College. You want to know why? Because the theology department, in many aspects, is heretical. They are not my friends. They are not my friends. You want to know who my friends are? My friends are those who love Jesus. My friends are those who propagate Christ, like Ignatius of Loyola. Now, there are some good teachers in Boston College. That's real. That's real. But there are too many theology teachers that propagate heresy. And we sold our property, our beautiful property, to the heretics. You see, do you see why judgment is coming upon us? See, you can fool me and you can fool you, But you can't fool God. What the world thinks more than what God thinks. You take the abortion issue. Take the, like, people don't even pray for it anymore in the local church. They don't even pray for it. It's just wrong. What do we do about this abortion issue? 50 million children have died. I'm going to tell you, God blames the church more than the world because we're supposed to know better. This is a Holocaust, and not, come on, not much has been done. So they have a march on Boston Common in Washington, and the bishops go, big deal. Just big deal. Big deal. Why can't they be like Bishop Daley that was in New York that would go dressed as a bishop in front of the abortion mills, and he closed three of them? You want to know why? Because they think more about what the world says than what Jesus Christ says and what the church says. It's really true. And you know, I got a letter from a priest that told me that I was wrong saying these things. He wrote a letter to the cardinal. You know, I don't really care. I'm not trying to be vengeful. I'm trying to say, you know what? It's time to repent. It's time to get on our knees. It's time not to do what the world tells us to do. It's time to do what God tells us to do. Because, you know, we have pampered sin, embraced sin, dismissed sin. Leadership is unable to handle it. Fragmentation, confusion throughout the ranks. Satan goes where he wills. He infects those who he will. He has free access throughout my people. God says, I will not stand for this. This is Michael Scanlon. This is not Father Tom. My people, specially blessed in the renewal, are more under the spirit of the world than under the spirit of baptism. They are more determined by the fear of what others think and are determined by fear than by the fear of me and fear of my word. Therefore, your situation is very, very weak. Your power is limited. You cannot be considered at this point to be at the center of the battle and conflict that is going on. So this time is now upon you, a time of judgment and a time of purification. Sin will be called sin. Satan will be unmasked. Fidelity will be held up for what it should be. My faithful servants will be seen and will come together. There will not be many in number. It will be difficult and a necessary time. There will be collapses. There will be collapses, difficulties throughout the world. But more the issue, there will be purification and persecution among my people who will have to stand for what they believe. You will have to choose between the world and me. You will have to choose what word you will follow and who you will respect. And in that choice, what has not been accomplished in the baptism and flooding of my gifts and of my spirit will be accomplished in the baptism of fire and persecution. Well, I just want to tell you, the church is not ready for persecution. We can't even get the kids to come to Mass. We've lost generations. We've sold the farm for nothing. We've sold the farm for nothing. I'm going to tell you, most priests don't know who they are as men of God. Honest to Pete, it is a big problem that priests do not know who they are. They can be the most respected or the most hated person in the community if they do the will of God. They have no idea of the power they have been given in baptism, confirmation, and ordination. No idea. Our confessionals are empty. You want to know why? Because people don't preach on sin and grace. Last week I preached on sin and grace. And you want to know what? This week we had 20 people going to confession. And I want to tell you, we have a tiny parish. 20 is more than we've ever had. But you see, sin is sin. Grace is grace. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Hallelujah. Jesus has conquered sin on the cross. The cross is our victory. not to proclaim the cross and to proclaim the victory of the blood of Jesus is not to be a preacher. I preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what St. Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. That's what St. Paul says. And I want to tell you, if it's good enough for St. Paul, it's good enough for me. You see, this is the year of St. Paul. But I tell you, every year for me is the year of St. Paul. I don't have to wait for a special year for it to be the year of St. Paul. Every year for me is the year of St. Paul. He is my hero. He is my friend. He is my inspiration. I don't have to wait for the year of St. Paul to preach on Paul. What would I be without St. Paul? Because I have been inspired by this man, who is just a man who has had the zeal of Elijah, the power of God, and suffered for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to wait for the year of St. Paul to celebrate Paul. I celebrate Paul every single day. He's my brother, and he's my friend, and I love that man. Where would I be without him? The fire will move among you individually, corporately, and in groups, and around the world. I will not tolerate the situation that is going on. I will not tolerate the adulterous mixture and the adulterous treating of gifts and graces and blessings with infidelity and sin and prostitution. My time is now among you. What you need is to come before me in total submission to my word, in total submission to my plan, in total submission to this hour. What you need to do is to drop the things that are your own, the things of the past. What you need is to see judgment and those for whom you are responsible for in light of this hour of judgment and purification. You need to see them in that way and do for them what will best help them to stand strong and to be among my faithful servants. For there will be casualties. It will not be easy, but it will be necessary. It is necessary that my people be a people. In fact, they be my people, and my church be in fact my church, and that my spirit bring forth a purity of life and a purity and fidelity of the gospel. Well, that was given by Father Michael Scanlon in 1980, and then the one in 1975 that the Lord says the darkness was coming, that what we depended upon, all the stagings we depended upon would no longer be there, the resources, the buildings, the people. I'm telling you, the finances, hallelujah. The best thing that could happen to the church is that it go broke, because then we'd have to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be the best thing that happens to the church, that we depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And I'm not against money, but I'm telling you, money is to be used for the kingdom of God. That's what money is to be used for. Let me tell you this. We do work with the poor out in the streets. Last week I bought $100 worth of gloves and $100 worth of hats and $100 worth of chicken. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you this because I'm going to be proud. This is money that I raise for the poor. Okay, this is money that I raise for the poor. You know, we went to stores that were having clear-out sales because of winter. We got beautiful things, took the tags off, because if you don't take the tags off, they'll sell them to people. The poor will sell them. So we took the tags off. They've got lovely winter clothes that we bought, hundreds of dollars worth. But you see, this is not charity. This is justice. Father Joshi, his confessions out in the street. We pray with the people. We feed the people. This is not charity. This is justice. This is justice. We're just doing our little share. Would that we could do more. Would that we could do more. This is justice. I've got people coming to me from all over the diocese and all over New England and beyond. People that nobody else wants to see, nobody else wants to listen to, with problems, demonic problems. And you want to know what? I can at least pray with them, and I can at least listen to them. I have people coming to me with cancer that have reached the nth degree of they have no place else to go. I cannot heal people of cancer, but I can pray for them, and I can pray that God heal them, and we have seen the healing of cancer. You see, I cannot do these things, but I can offer these things and give them the hope that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he is, and that Jesus Christ heals. You know, we do not have the biggest parish in the Archdiocese, but you know we have more going on than most places. Because you know what Jesus said about the temple? My house shall be called a house of prayer. And I want to tell you, our little church at Holy Rosary in Winthrop is a house of prayer. There are people in this church praising God all the time, either in quiet before the Blessed Sacrament or just coming in off the street. There are people in this little church. It is a house of prayer. Mass is offered in this little church with, we have fewer than 500 parishioners. They all don't come, of course. Twice a day. Adoration every day almost. You want to know why? Because Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And that's what we call it, a house of prayer. It's not the most beautiful house, but I'm going to tell you, it's where God lives. And you can feel it too. Listen, if you would like to get onto our website, it's fathertoms.com, FatherToms.com, fathertoms.com. It's my .com, fathertoms, FatherToms.com. And you'll see our latest videos, fathertoms.com. And you know what? I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And remember, tonight, 5:30 in the evening, a surprise Mass at Holy Rosary. It's fathertoms.com. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.